What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, along with Matt Peck. We are live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Go give our friends over at Locked On Bears a subscribe. Go like them on Facebook and Twitter as well. If you're a big Bears fan, you're going to want to subscribe to that show. But welcome back. It's been less than 24 hours. If you haven't caught up on our latest episode, go back to yesterday's episode, and we did a full hour for you guys. Ton of packed stuff from the weekend, as well as some Stacey King stuff. But we're here to break down, sort of preview this Lakers matchup tonight. Hopefully a lot of you will stay up late to kind of get a little bit of a taste of two rebuilding teams and where they're at, and get a chance to see your boy Lonzo Ball. What's up, Matt? How are you?
What's up, Jordan? Looking forward to this Bulls-Lakers showdown. We got a late tip-off out there in L.A. tonight, 9:30 Central Time. A lot of interesting storylines here. Obviously, everybody out west and really nationally is obsessed with the early season struggles and achievements of Lonzo Ball, number two overall pick in the 2017 draft. He's just one of three interesting storylines when it comes from guys who played their college ball in the Pac-12. Of course, you also have Lauri Markkanen, the Bulls rookie, coming off another strong game in the Bulls losing effort to the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. And Kyle Kuzma, who, you know, the Utah product, who, for all of the fanfare that Lonzo Ball gets, I mean, Kuzma's leading this Lakers team in scoring thus far this season and might be one of those kind of sneaky late draft picks who turns into a real legitimate NBA player. I've really enjoyed watching Kuzma play thus far. So three big name Pac-12 players all squared up. And then, of course, you also have the Robin Lopez versus Brook Lopez showdown. I believe this is the 17th time in their collective NBA careers that they will be facing off, twin versus twin.
I forgot about that, too. I forgot that Brook Lopez is in the Lakers now and that it'll be a brother-on-brother matchup tonight. But it's kind of an interesting storyline, and this will be kind of a fun game to watch if you do decide to stay up and watch it. I think it's a 9 o'clock Central tip-off tonight.
9:30. Against the
9:30, so that's even later than... So if you're on the East Coast, it's a 10:30 tip-off. Now, this is kind of late, and this is at least early in the season where the Bulls get this kind of out of the way, where they're playing these really late games. But yeah, this is going to be a fun matchup to watch. If you haven't got a chance to kind of tune in and watch the Lakers, whether it's on national broadcast, TNT, ESPN, wherever, if you haven't got to watch him yet this season, at least Bulls fans now will get a chance to see how he plays, how the Lakers sort of look now. What is this, their fourth, fifth year in their rebuild? It's another chance for Bulls fans to take a look at other teams around the NBA that maybe you don't normally follow on a daily basis, kind of get a sneak peek and look at some other teams and how they're rebuilding, where they're at, and sort of the talent that they've built over the 4 and 5 years. If you listened to us yesterday, we talked about, you know, some of the teams around the NBA that are rebuilding and kind of where they stand and what it would look, what it kind of brings in terms of the future for the Bulls and sort of how their outlook looks. But looking at this Lakers squad, they've got a couple great pieces. They've got young Luke Walton as their head coach. I feel like they're at this point in where the Lakers stand, they're sort of waiting for the summer of 2018 to really take that next step and be extremely competitive again in that Western Conference.
Yeah, I know that Lonzo's dad, LeVar, had plenty to say leading up to this rookie season for Lonzo about how the Lakers were instantly going to become a playoff team and contenders in the Western Conference. It's like, all right, LeVar,
stay in your lane.
We might touch on a different LeVar story later in this show because it is Bulls Lakers day. But I mean, other than the fact that, yeah, he's put together a couple of triple doubles, his second one of the season in a winning effort against Denver the other day, looked good. I think he had 11 points, 16 boards, and 11 assists. We know that Lonzo Ball is a gifted passer. We also know that he's really been struggling to shoot the ball thus far this season with that weird-ass form of his. I'm excited. I mean, this is our first look at Bulls versus Lakers. This is, as you said, a rebuilding Lakers team that is really not quite ready to be a contender. They're 7-10 right now, which is actually second place in the pretty pathetic Pacific division out there in the Western Conference, but this is a game that I think the Bulls should be able to compete with their opponent.
Yeah, and I think this is a game in which you're going to get an idea of how the Bulls can compete against maybe some of the other talent that, you know, there's teams around this league that when the Bulls hopefully are going to become competitive, that you're going to have your Lakers, you're going to have your teams like, I don't know, like possibly the Hornets, teams like the 76ers, all these Suns, these teams that are rebuilding, these are the teams that you would project would be competitive when the Bulls project that they want to be competitive maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line. I'm more interested to see the play from a few different guys because of the impact that maybe the Lakers want to get rid of and dump some of these contracts that they had signed last summer. And those contracts, including like guys like Luol Deng, who they signed to 4 years at $72 million. I'm interested to watch the young pieces that the Lakers maybe don't aren't as high on, and maybe that's an avenue where the Bulls can, you know, knock on the Lakers' door at January, February and say, you know what, we'll take on that Luol Deng contract, see if you can give us somebody like, I don't know, Julius Randle, give us somebody that maybe the Lakers don't see fit into their system. And that's something I wanted to bring up to you. If you had to look at this Lakers roster, if the Lakers came to the Bulls front office, say right around the trade deadline, and they said, we'll dump Luol Deng, but the Bulls have to have another piece and part of this, which guy on this roster do you think the Lakers would give up in order to sort of dump that Luol Deng contract to increase their flexibility next summer?
That's a good question. I know Bulls fans are probably rolling their eyes thinking about the fact that we just wrapped up the Luol Deng trade on this preview, the draft night that just happened. Like, it's fine.
What did we get?
It's finally over, and we got, you know, nothing. I guess we got a second round pick back, and then, oh hey, what do you know, cash considerations and all that jazz. As far as a piece that you might attach with taking on Luol Deng's contract, I mean, nobody jumps out as like, oh, I'd really like to add that piece. As far as like something that the Lakers would be willing to give up, like they've got some interesting young guys in their backcourt, like Tyler Ennis, Vander Blue. But I don't necessarily know if either of those would be what the Bulls are looking for. I don't think Tyler Ennis is going to be a point guard of the future any more so than Chris Dunn is already. I really like Larry Nance Jr. a lot. He's a good young player, but I think that the Lakers are planning on holding on to him. I would be surprised to see them let him go. I mean, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like I'm really not that high on him either at the shooting guard position. I'm pretty sure expensive. That the Lakers are not going to move Julius Randle. Obviously, Brandon Ingram is a piece they plan on keeping. I don't see it. Like, I don't see who the Bulls insist on getting.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, if the Lakers, their pick situation, if they're not willing up to give up a first-round pick or something in the future that's a first-round pick, and they really desperately want to get rid of guys like Luol Deng with the massive money that they still owe him, they're going to have to settle, and they're going to have to find a piece on this roster that they're going to have to part ways with. It's just going to have to happen if they want to unload that contract. And if the Bulls aren't stupid, they don't take on that contract unless you do get a valuable piece back. That's something else I want to talk about. It's been thrown around a ton on NBA Twitter, and I see Lakers fans across the board just say, like, you guys are idiots. You don't know what you're talking about. Why would they do this? And it specifically goes to Brandon Ingram. I know it's only been a year since Brandon Ingram has been on the roster, but there's been countless people who've been tossing out the idea that the Lakers, you know, halfway through this season, if they don't see continuous strides from Brandon Ingram, that might be a piece that they try to package away with a guy like Luol Deng or somebody else that is owed a ton of money on this roster. I have reservations about that. I don't feel like a rebuilding Lakers team, especially with a young coach and the possibility to spend a lot of money next season, I think it's way too early to give up on Brandon Ingram from the Lakers' standpoint, but it all depends on their motive of how badly they want to get rid of, you know, knock 18, 19 million off their payroll for next season and be able to pay somebody else that can help them win now.
Ingram is interesting to me. I think he certainly hasn't come anywhere close to tapping his NBA potential. Maybe he's just not a good fit in LA, and I, you know, it seems like maybe moving forward, that the Lakers are going to try to center their game plan around Lonzo Ball and use him as a, you know, offensive distributor and kind of run their offense through him. And maybe Ingram doesn't necessarily fit with that. But to me, as far as the potential fit with the Bulls, Ingram is interesting because he's a wing, and you're kind of looking ahead now just maybe a few weeks and thinking, all right, well, I mean, Zach LaVine can, you know, you're talking about LaVine maybe playing some minutes at shooting guard, but based on the other pieces the Bulls have, you might also see Ingram play a good amount of minutes at the three, and maybe as Ingram gets older, he becomes more comfortable playing that wing spot as opposed to shooting guard. And then you're kind of wondering, like, well, do you really need or want Ingram if LaVine wants to be your guy at that spot on the floor? So to me, the way I see it now, I think Ingram can obviously improve from what he's shown us thus far in, you know, a couple seasons in the NBA, but I don't know. I don't see him as a great fit for the Bulls.
In terms of getting young pieces back, it's not even more of a sense from the Bulls' standpoint whether or not they would take him. I feel like if the Lakers came to the Bulls' front office and said, we'll give you Brandon Ingram and Luol Deng to take on the Luol Deng's contract, I think the Bulls would be stupid to say no to that.
Oh, I agree. I definitely
In the same
agree.
Time, I still don't think the Lakers are ready to give up on him. And I look at the Lakers roster too, and like, it's easy to plug in that terrible Luol Deng contract, and it's not like the Bulls are going to take on a guy like Brook Lopez or anything like that who is owed a lot of money. And the Lakers just signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope this offseason, and all those guys are making anywhere between $17 and $22 million per year. How do you make it advantageous for the Bulls to take on that contract? The only other person that I could think of is Jordan Clarkson, but then you're adding another point guard to the mix, and maybe that's what the Bulls need, and maybe that's what the Bulls would ask for. But Jordan Clarkson's another interesting piece, and now with them getting Lonzo, and you don't know who they would sign in the offseason next summer, that could be another certainly interesting piece to talk about.
And another thing that you got to keep in mind as far as what kind of package they might send, you know, we've touched on a few different players that they might send with Luol. Obviously, the other thing the Bulls are really trying to accumulate right now are future draft picks. When it comes to the Lakers, they have an incoming second rounder from Denver in the 2018 draft, as well as a incoming second rounder from the Bulls in 2019. But they're sending their 2018 first rounder to either Philly or Boston, you know, pending certain variables. They're sending their 2018 second rounder to Orlando or Brooklyn, and their 2019 second rounder to Portland or Cleveland. So they do have, as of right now, their 2019 first round pick. But you really think the rebuilding Lakers are going to let that go? I don't see that happening. So as far as future picks to be included in this deal, like maybe giving the Bulls their 2019 second rounder back, like maybe that's an option they explore, maybe forwarding along the 2018 second rounder that the Lakers have coming in from Denver, maybe either or both of those options. But as we've learned in recent years, the Bulls don't tend to value those second round picks very highly, do they?
Not at all. And the ones that they do, they have selected in the second round. Now we're looking like the odd man out. Cough, cough, Paul Zipser,
who we're high on.
To kind of wrap up this conversation before the game goes on tonight, give me one key that you want to see while watching this game. What's one thing that you want to see from the Bulls in terms of whether it's an individual player, a team as a whole? What do you want to see from the Bulls going up against this other rebuilding Lakers?
What I'm going to be looking for is seeing if the Bulls can do something they haven't been able to do much at all yet this season, which is dictate the pace and style of the game, because we know that the Bulls have struggled to play this pace and space offense of Fred Hoiberg thus far. Really, I mean, they're towards the bottom of the league in offensive pace and offensive efficiency, but the Lakers are pretty bad as well. And specifically when it comes to three-point shooting, the Bulls aren't doing hot. I think they're ranked 26th or 27th right now in three-point field goal percentage. The Lakers are dead last. This is not a good perimeter shooting team. So on the defensive end, can the Bulls dictate what they are trying to do and force the Lakers into taking a lot of shots they don't want to take around that perimeter and really prevent guys from getting easy buckets inside? And we talked about the defensive strength of Robin Lopez in a recent episode. We talked about the the pleasantly surprising defensive performance of Lauri Markkanen thus far. Can the Bulls dictate this game tonight in that element and force the Lakers to turn into a jump shooting team, because they are not a good jump shooting
team? Yeah, and my key for tonight's game, I think I'm going to go with the front court. I think the front court's going to be really important tonight for the Bulls in terms of guys like Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, and Robin Lopez really eliminating any possibility for the Lakers to get some type of success underneath the basket. You look at guys like Julius Randle and Kyle Kuzma and even Brook Lopez, these are three of the Lakers' top scorers on their team. And so to prevent those guys from getting easy buckets, getting easy transition buckets, working down low in the paint, I'd like to see Lauri Markkanen have a great game defensively. I'd like to see Bobby Portis beat up Julius Randle, figuratively, not realistically, but beat him up underneath the basket. And
are you sure? Are you sure not realistically?
I don't know. We can't predict what Bobby Portis will do, but I want to see a good night off the bench from him too, because that's something that the Lakers, when the Lakers have won games this year, it's come from because Julius Randle's come off the bench and he's scored a ton of buckets. And that's weird. That's something that the Bulls got to prevent, and they've got to prevent Kyle Kuzma from just dunking all over the Bulls tonight. So the front court rebounding, which the Bulls have done a good job. We talked about last week that the Bulls, you know, land somewhere in the top third of rebounding and defensive metrics. So for the Bulls, I want to see them have a nice defensive game, especially from the front court, and eliminate guys like Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, and Brook Lopez from taking over games, which I think the Lakers are going to try to expose, especially early on tonight.
All right, Jordan, so let's have it. This might be one of the more winnable games for the Bulls in this stretch of their schedule, a tough West Coast road trip. Dropped a winnable game to Phoenix. Now, Lakers tonight, Lakers -5.5 at home. Are you taking the Lakers to cover that spread, or are you taking the Bulls?
I'm going to take the Bulls on the road. I'm going to take the plus. I'm going to take the 5.5 points. I know they're playing on the road. They don't necessarily do, like, over the history of the Bulls, they don't necessarily do well on the West Coast, this West Coast road trip. I'm looking for a great night from Lauri Markkanen. We're going to see a return of, you know, this might be the revenge game for David Nwaba too. That's something else we got to bring up, is David Nwaba was part of this Lakers team last season. So Lakers fans are going to get a chance to see David Nwaba, but I'm looking for a good bounce back game from the Bulls. And like you said, if they can control the pace of the game, I'm going to take the +5.5 points. I think this game's going to stay close.
I think you're right. I think the Bulls got a shot to make this a game and even have a shot to win tonight. And speaking of those lines in sports betting, I don't know about you, Jordan, but a lot of my friends and family, knowing what I do, talking about sports, watching sports all day, every day, I get asked about betting advice all the time. Usually it's, who are you betting on this week? You know, you got the Patriots or the Steelers, Chicago or Detroit. Well, let me tell you this to all of our Locked On Bulls listeners out there. Whether where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why Jordan and I always tell our listeners to go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA for up to 100% deposit bonus. There are a lot of online sports books out there, but mybookie.ag is the only one that gets our stamp of approval. You know, we don't give that out lightly. To get our endorsement, we got to personally use them. That means they have to be the best out there. And mybookie.ag is by far the best sports book we have used. Mybookie.ag has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing absolutely nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just 2 business days. It's no different for betting in a glitzy Las Vegas casino, but you can do it right from your smartphone. Trust me, go to mybookie.ag to place your bets and tell them that I sent you by using that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA. Get over to mybookie.ag and get the best odds anywhere. Maybe you want to put a little money on this Bulls-Lakers game we got tonight.
With that, you guys are probably sitting around, you know, anxiously awaiting our announcement for our contest in the Lauri Markkanen jersey. We said we were going to announce it today, and so we're going to do that right now.
Give me the hot sauce! Give me the hot sauce, Bob!
Before I announce the winner, I want to say thank you to everybody that sent an email in, tweeted us, liked us on Facebook. Whether you've entered the contest in every different way, you went on Twitter, you went on Facebook, you sent us an email. We've gotten tons of positive feedback, and we seriously can't appreciate that enough.
Yeah, it was, I mean, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of entries. Really a pleasant surprise. I had no idea that Markkanen and jersey giveaway was going to create that kind of buzz. But, I mean, at the same time, I want a Lowry Markkanen jersey, so it makes sense.
Well, for fans out there and listeners, you can take a deep breath because Matt did not win the Lowry Markkanen contest. So
I did not win.
With that, one of our loyal listeners in Eric Lee. Eric Lee, you are the winner of the Lowry Markkanen jersey, so congratulations. We want to let you know that if you're not Eric Lee, you didn't win the contest. We want to let you know just because you didn't win the contest doesn't mean you can't win in the future. So we're going to have plenty of contests leading up to the holidays in December. So make sure to continue following us on Facebook and Twitter. Send us all your questions at lockedonbulls@gmail.com, too. We love to hear some feedback from you guys, whether it's positive or negative. We love the feedback, how we can improve the show, and how we can continue to keep having you guys listen out there. Once again, we want to say thank you, and, hang in there if you didn't win. And Eric Lee, hopefully you enjoy your Lowry Markkanen jersey. But with the last couple minutes we've got here, I want to talk about a couple things, a couple clean notes here. So one, we got to make the note that Zach LaVine has been cleared for practice, which is one step closer. I'm getting giddy now because Zach LaVine is coming back, and it seems like it could potentially be days before he suits up in a Bulls uniform. So this is great news for Bulls fans.
It's really excellent news, and I know some Bulls fan pessimists out there might be saying, like, oh no, but this is bad because if LaVine comes back and plays on schedule or in ahead of schedule, it might mean more wins, which might mean bad things for the Bulls and that draft lottery. Yes, I understand your concern and your logic, but at the same time, come on. You want to see this kid play. This is one of the young star potential pieces that we got in the Jimmy Butler trade to start over, start from scratch, start fresh in the Chicago Bulls franchise. You're telling me you don't want to see what this kid has right now coming off of this injury? After we have heard throughout his ACL tear recovery that he is better, faster, stronger, all of these wonderful signs about his measurements and his stats, jumping, speed, 40-yard dash, all that kind of shit, we're hearing that he could be coming back stronger and better than before the ACL tear. And I know the Bulls fans listen to that kind of talk with a great deal of skepticism because of the Derrick Rose trauma we all endured together, and I get that. But I am stoked to watch Zach LaVine come back and play NBA basketball in a Bulls jersey. I've been an admirer of his game throughout the first few seasons of his career with the Timberwolves. He's a big piece of this rebuild. I want to see what the kid has.
Yeah, and dropping him into that lineup with Lowry Markkanen and hopefully Chris Dunn ends up winning this point guard spot, if not tonight, sometime on this road trip, I think it'd be a no-brainer for Fred. But dropping him in on this lineup and allowing him to play alongside guys like Lowry Markkanen and even Justin Holiday, like, this is going to open up so much for the Bulls offensively. Even if you drop him in and he starts off with 15 to 17 points per game, I mean, before he got injured, he was averaging 18-4 with the Timberwolves as the third option on the Timberwolves. So you drop him in on a team that doesn't have a whole lot of offensive potential, that's going to open up a lot for not only Lowry Markkanen, but for Justin Holiday. And I think this is just, it's all going to be really good to watch, and it's all going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I'm keeping my Bulls positivity lens on Zach LaVine in terms of the route that he's going to take is going to be more like Russell Westbrook than Derrick Rose. And that's just got kind of the mindset you have to have. You can't come into it pessimistic and saying, oh, this is just another Derrick Rose thing. He's not going to come back as good. That's not the case. You've got to take a case-by-case basis. And we explained that before when we talked about LaVine's injury. But I'm stoked.
Like, it's a great sign that he's been cleared for full contact practice. And we'll probably get, we'll probably get word before too long that he's been cleared to return. But I think that saying he's going to come back on this road trip is pressing it a little bit. I think we're going to see him sometime in early or mid-December. But what I'm looking at is the Bulls have a nice 5-game homestand in early to mid-December that's separated by just one quick trip up to Milwaukee. Saturday, December 9th, home against the Knicks through Wednesday, December 20th, home against Orlando. with just a quick trip to Milwaukee somewhere in the middle of there. I think in that chunk of the games, when the Bulls are at home and have plenty of time to reorganize themselves and take a break after that road trip, that's when you're going to see LaVine come back. I would be shocked to see him play on this road trip.
Like we've talked about, Vincent Goodwill said that, you know, he would not be surprised if he saw him around Thanksgiving. Now, that was a month ago, and we're in the week of Thanksgiving here, so that's why I've got kind of a little bit more optimism, and maybe he's on track to come back. All right, if he's not going to come back on this road trip, then I'm going to pinpoint one date that I think he will come back, and I think it's going to be earlier than what you said. I'm pinpointing that Monday game at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade coming back. I feel like if Zach LaVine is, if he's like 95% ready to go, 99% ready to go, I think that would be the opportune time for the Bulls to drop him in the lineup, let him get going. And also, you know what? If the Bulls aren't filling the United Center the way that they thought they were going to, or they're losing out, this would be an opportune time for the Bulls to say, hey, you know what? Come out and watch the Cavaliers and the Bulls. Also, Zach LaVine's returning. Derrick Rose is coming back. It just makes for a good storyline for the Bulls in a rebuilding situation early on. I want to pinpoint that Monday, December 4th game as his return. And if he doesn't return then, you can all call me an idiot.
That's fair. And look, I know that it makes sense, kind of like a big hype game, even though, of course, it's not nationally televised. Bulls only have one of those against Jimmy Butler, Tibbs, and the Wolves later this season. But, yeah, that would make sense to kind of create a little bit of hype when the Cavs come to town, obviously with all the storylines that are existing there. But you mentioned that, you know, maybe the Bulls are struggling to fill the stadium. There were a lot of empty seats in their latest home game. But check this out, Jordan. I mean... Bulls fans gonna Bulls fan. I'm looking at the NBA team attendance by city right now. Chicago leads the NBA.
Of course they do.
In average attendance.
Of course they do.
21,435 a game.
The gift that keeps on giving for Michael Jordan will forever be that, in that the Bulls will always be top three, top five in attendance. We had a long discussion about that too, which, honestly, that doesn't surprise me either. And people are excited about the way Lowry's playing, too, so that might be a reason why they're going to go out there. So pinpointing that game, though, for Zach LaVine returning, Monday the 4th puts it exactly 13 days from now, so it's about 2 weeks from now. When he's cleared for practice, I don't know in terms of how long, and it might be case by case from players, but 2 weeks of full practice, full on contact, without any setbacks, without anything, any minor glitches, any minor setbacks, I feel like 2 weeks of full practice, if he's ready to go, that might be the game.
I can see it. I can see it happening.
There's one other thing I want to touch on before we get out of here. So it was announced a couple days ago over the weekend that Fox Sports is coming out with this new documentary series, sort of like what 30 for 30 does, but a little bit different. This is more a localized perspective in a documentary series that Fox Sports is putting out. And it came across that Dwayne Wade and Chance the Rapper were both executive producers on one of the stories that they're going to be pinpointing on in a local high school team here in Chicago, in kind of a path of two different players. And I saw this preview and I watched the trailer too. We'll link the trailer on our Twitter and our Facebook. But this looks like something really cool. And, you know, people love Chance the Rapper, and Dwayne Wade has done a ton in the community. As much as he got ripped on for the stuff that he did on the court and sort of his lackluster time with the Bulls, he has done a ton off the court and a ton for the city of Chicago. So I'm excited to watch this documentary series when it drops in February.
Obviously, Wade is no longer as much of a, you know, prominent figure in the Chicago community as he was when he spent one season playing here, but he's still a Chicago native, just like Chance. And, you know, obviously one of them is a no doubt first ballot Hall of Fame professional athlete, and one of them is a rising star in the music industry. So I really enjoyed I'm pretty sure it was ESPN The Mag did a cover story about the growing friendship between Chance the Rapper and Jimmy Butler, like mid-season last year, which I really enjoyed. And I'm really excited to see what they do with this documentary, because I don't know if you caught Chance on SNL this past weekend, but I mean, the guy has charisma coming out of his ears. He's insanely talented, and yeah, you really have to admire what he's trying to do for the the kids, and especially the underprivileged kids here in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm a huge Chance the Rapper fan. I've seen him multiple times live. I saw him at Lollapalooza. I've seen him before he blew up into the icon that he is over the last 2 years. You know, I remember watching him at shows where there was only a couple hundred people there, and now tickets are insane. The crowds are insane for him when he goes out. Anything he does and anything he puts out there, it's always positive now, and people have latched on to Chance as like this icon of Chicago, and it's gone national and it's gone global, which is awesome for them. But a little bit more information about this documentary series. So also LeBron James is also an executive producer on this too. The film called titled Shot in the Dark follows Orr Academy's basketball team as it navigates both the sport and systematic injustice in the city. It stars players Tyquan Greer and Marquise Pryor, along with head coach Lou Adams. Lou Adams has been on a couple different national shows, including CNN, and a couple different places a couple months ago, talking about different injustices and talk about Chicago and just how sports has plays a factor into it. The documentary series premiered in New York last weekend, and it'll air on Fox in February 2018. Wade did have this to say about it. Basketball empowered me to overcome the challenges of growing up on the south side of Chicago. The odds were stacked against me, and the game changed the course of my life. It's important to share these true stories of triumph to inspire the next generation to achieve their dreams when faced with life's obstacles. So I'm really excited to watch this. I think this is going to be really cool. And I'm a sucker for a good documentary. It doesn't matter what it's on. I'm a sucker for a good documentary.
Absolutely. Sports or otherwise.
So with that, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Make sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Remember, the game's late tonight, 9:30 tip-off here, Central Time. So enjoy the Lakers and the Bulls tonight. Hopefully the Bulls can show us something productive and it's not an OKC turnout tonight. But with that, we want to thank our sponsor at MyBookie. And for everybody that entered the Lowry Marketing Contest, we really appreciate you. We hope you keep listening to us. For Locked On Bulls, for Matt and Jordan, we are out. We'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight. Night.